Well, good morning, my friends. Good to be with you. Unitarianism, as I understand it, is no longer based on a set of beliefs. Okay, creedal statements that one must believe in order to be a member. Instead, it is open to the accumulated spiritual wisdom of many traditions and is based on 8 value statements, the third of which Deb mentioned earlier, is the acceptance of others and the encouragement of spiritual growth among the congregation. Acceptance and encouragement. Encouragement of spiritual growth. Growth implies change, and this is what I'm going to talk with you about this morning. When Jay Leno had his late night show, he sometimes poked fun at Unitarians for having a religion that believed nothing. Others have criticized it as simply a collection of white educated people who gather to hear lectures. During my early years in the fellowship, I loved the people, as I still do, but felt our meetings lacked an atmosphere of the sacred, a sense of God's presence, our involvement in an all-embracing divine mystery. The word religion means to be tied to, connected to something greater than oneself. This is often what people think of as being spiritual. During the 1960s, I became familiar with the writings of Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, a French Jesuit priest who, as a scientist, spent 20 years working as an anthropologist in China. I find meaning and relevance to our topic today in his statement, "Evolution is the essential lens through which to understand reality." Evolution, the essential lens. For me, this described the way my understanding of religion has changed, evolved, since I became a Catholic as a young teenager. My spirituality, my understanding of reality, has evolved through perplexity, doubt, and unbelief, and currently to a wider, less restricted, all-inclusive openness to the divine mystery. Not up in the sky or in another supernatural world, but here and now in everyday reality and in the unfathomable universe of which we are just an infinitesimal part. My evolving spirituality. I trace my conscious evolution from a morning when I was about 9 years old. I was looking out the third floor window of the apartment building on Foster Avenue in Chicago, where I lived with my mother and my aunt. For some reason, I was home alone that morning. As I looked out the window on a gray morning, I had a dreadful sense that there was nothing more to life than this. I felt emptiness. At around 12 years of age, I remember being caught up in the mystery I experienced attending Mass at Our Lady of Lourdes Church on Ashland Avenue in the north side of Chicago. I was taking instructions about the Catholic religion from a humble priest, Father Edward Cronin. I became a Catholic soon after and loved the access I had every day to participate in the amazing closeness to Jesus in daily communion, something I enjoyed throughout high school. In high school, I met a priest who inspired me to enter the seminary of the Paulus Fathers, a religious community in the Catholic Church that had begun 100 years earlier by a group of five men who had converted to Catholicism, as I had. I spent one of the 9 years of seminary training in a novitiate, that lasted a year and a day. I clearly remember committing myself at that time, body and soul, to Jesus, who was as real to me as you are to me, as you are here before me. Here I am, Lord. I will follow wherever you lead me. In 1962, I was ordained a priest in New York City and assigned to study and serve as a Newman Center chaplain at Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio. That same year, 1962, Pope John XXIII assembled the Second Vatican Council. Catholic bishops from around the world met in Rome during the next 4 years. Pope John called for them to open the window, as it were, and let some fresh air in. The Vatican Council transformed the views and practice of the Catholic Church in many ways. One was to recognize God's presence and action in other religious traditions, in fact, in all people and in the modern world. During the 7 years I served in campus ministry at Ohio State, I was inspired by the Vatican Council, and I formed close bonds of friendship with the campus ministers and rabbis at the university. This broadened my awareness of God's presence and actions through the various religious traditions they were part of. A similar religious or spiritual evolution has been going on in the minds and hearts of many people over the past several decades, especially young people, who leave restricted views expressed in their churches in their search for an experience that is more meaningful. I see it in this UU Fellowship, and frankly, in many, many people who seek to make sense of reality and what matters in life. Again, in the words of Teilhard de Chardin, evolution is the essential lens by which to understand reality. On the table with our name tags when you enter here is a revised statement about UU friends and members. It states, our religious way is not so much about arriving as a becoming, an ongoing process. This leads me to another person who has deeply influenced my spirituality, a Franciscan priest named Richard Rohr. He founded the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico, about 25 years ago. In numerous books, conferences, and daily meditations, read online by hundreds of thousands of people, he teaches the alternative orthodoxy expressed in the life of St. Francis of Assisi. Francis was the founder of the Franciscan order in the Catholic Church. As Michelle D., one reader of Father Rohr's writings, put it, the failings of the Church need not separate us from the sacramental mystery. Francis wasn't the usual pious saint. He didn't accuse the system of being inferior. He just went out and did it better. That's still one of the principles of Father Rohr's center. The best criticism of the past is the practice of the better. This is a quote. Father Rohr gives words to what I have always felt intuitively but couldn't explain. Those words were from another one of Father Rohr's readers, and they express perfectly my own experience. He expresses what I have felt intuitively. Another one of the many people influenced by his writing, Colleen M., wrote, I feel my world expanding every morning as I read the daily meditations. While I have always felt that I had a spiritual interior relationship, I did not realize how narrow my experience and access to God really were. At 55 years of age, I find myself at peace and filled with joy at knowing how little I know and need to know. I am less aware of the boundaries that my early faith established and more aware of the interconnectedness of all humanity. Brian McLaren is an associate of Father Rohr, and he points out that belief, the act of holding a set or a system of beliefs, is not the same thing as faith, even though we often use the words imprecisely and interchangeably. Faith, before doubt sets in, is about correct beliefs. Faith after doubt is about revolutionary love. In other words, the journey of faith that begins in simplicity and may even develop through complexity involves learning and perfecting beliefs. But then the journey of doubt through perplexity involves questioning, not only specific beliefs, but the whole belief system approach to faith. One can progress and evolve in one's life journey beyond beliefs into revolutionary love. By revolutionary love, McLaren means love beyond. Love that goes beyond myself to my neighbor. Beyond my neighbor to the stranger, alien, other, outcast, and outsider. And this is what's really tough to do. Love that goes beyond the outsider to the critic, antagonist, opponent, and enemy, and even beyond the human to my non-human fellow creatures. In short, revolutionary love means loving God, means loving as God loves, inclusively, unconditionally, extravagantly, infinitely. McLaren is not against beliefs. Beliefs are necessary. They are interesting. They are unavoidable. But belief, the act of holding a set or system of beliefs, is not the same thing as faith. Father Rohr says, we have made faith into a demand to know and to insist that we do know, whereas true faith involves not knowing and not even needing to know. Faith, frail as it is sometimes, is also flexible. It is self-correcting as we have profound encounters with people who are different from us, and we are exposed to new experiences and ideas. Jesus' notion of faith is much better understood as foundational confidence or trust that God cares about what is happening right now. This is clearly the quality that Jesus fully represents. God cares about what is happening right now. Adam Buco, who works with men recently released from prison, wrote, I would just be there with homeless youth in a state of not knowing and trust, paying attention to what was, bearing witness to their pain, helping them to hold their pain, and often breaking down with them as a result of what I was witnessing. The eighth core principle of Father Rohr's center states, we do not think ourselves into a new way of living. We live ourselves into a new way of thinking. This final principle is a fruit of his decades of companioning with others on the spiritual journey. He writes, the form of learning which most changes people in lasting ways has to touch them at a broader and deeper level than the thinking mind. The Dalai Lama said it well. An open heart is an open mind. A change of heart is a change of mind. This, Rohr says, is the urgently needed work of mature spirituality. Just 1 minute. He goes on, many people over the years, even goodwill people, have read and listened to my presentation of the gospel, yet have actually done very little in terms of lifestyle changes, economic or political rearrangements, or church reform. My preaching has remained in the realm of good ideas. After all, isn't that what many people think church is about? Attending services and believing ideas to be true or false. For most of us, if we're honest, our lives rarely make space for any new practices or changed patterns or habits to emerge. In contrast, transformation does not ask us to believe or disbelieve doctrines or dogmas. Rather, it says, try this. Then we will know something to be true or false for ourselves. At Father Ward's Center, they say, try this. Go here. Change sides. Move outside your comfort zone. Make new friendships with people of a different race or class. Let go of your usual role and attractive self-image. Walk or pedal instead of drive. Skip the tourist visits and spend time in local neighborhoods. Go to the jail or to the border. Help at a food pantry or literacy center. Attend another church for a while, and so on. Then we can live ourselves into new ways of thinking, and we will wonder how we could ever have thought in another way. Before a new experience, new thinking is difficult and feels dangerous. Afterwards, new thinking is natural and even necessary. So this is what I find in the UU Fellowship, an openness to meaning in others, a social awareness that results in acts of service. We tend not to think of the divine in another realm separate from the natural world in which we live, but whether we use the word or not, we find God in one another. For as Father Ward says, in reality, everything and everyone is connected, and nothing stands alone. Finally, we who are gathered here may use different words, have different images or concepts to grapple with reality. Personally, I believe that knowingly or unknowingly, through mistakes and setbacks, we are called forth irresistibly by the Spirit to live out our lives in the evolution of self and the world. Personally, I cling to the understanding that the driving force of this dynamic change is the Spirit of the living Jesus, to whom I committed myself almost 60 years ago. This is where my evolving spirituality has taken me. Thank you for your invitation and your attention. Bless you.
Thanks so much for sharing yourself. Secondly, I really love the beginning when you looked out at age 9 onto the world and how you felt. If you were to look out the window now, today, tonight, look out on the world, what would be your feeling in relation to how you felt when you were 9? And what would be the origins or forces that brought about this new feeling?
Well, I think if I did not have the different understanding I've gained through Richard Rohr, I could feel very troubled. There's a lot of trouble, and there's so much suffering, so much that isn't right, and so much that's very good. I think sometimes I can be focused more on what's wrong and the suffering rather than the love and the acts of service and so many ways in which people really do good for each other and try to do good for the larger world. With the view I have from Rohr, I guess, which is more conceptual, but is a way of, and I cling to it. I don't always can honestly say I believe it. I hope for it to be true. I hope that the universe is benevolent. I hope there really is an over all-embracing, transcendent, and yet immanent divine presence. I like to believe that that became humanly present in the person of Jesus. Is it true? Is it real? I hope so. It gives me a more positive way of looking at life and what makes sense. That's all I can tell you.